Welcome to episode 133 of the Highly Relevant Podcast, a Lan Eck show where I interview the people and discuss the moments that are shaping our American and Latino pop culture. Well, guys, it's the last month of 2019, and I'm sure you're going mad shopping after all the great sales on Black Friday and Cyber Monday. I got to pick up a couple of things myself, pretty happy with. I mean, the sales are crazy steep this year. I mean, this is like one of the best years for sales. I feel like the sales have been going on since like October. I'm not sure if you've been watching TV. And when I talk about TV today in 2019, almost 2020, I'm kind of really talking about the streaming services. One of the benefits of being a press person in the entertainment industry is that we get a lot of access to a lot of TV shows and movies before, you know, most of the public does. That way we can review it, talk about it, write about it, analyze it, and then have our opinions for you guys to kind of like consider when you're watching these new programs. You know, either it's a form of promotion, I guess, is the way they view it for the press. It's more how we can be of service and of value to you. That way you can look and consume things in a way that's much more beneficial to you. And one of the big TV shows, and I have to say, I mean, I said this on Twitter, probably the best TV show out right now is The Mandalorian. It's on Disney Plus, and I've already seen 4 episodes on it. And I have to say, I mean, I don't think any other production out there, I mean, and I'm talking about Game of Thrones, I haven't seen a production this big for any TV show but The Mandalorian. There, it's been rumored that the show per episode, and I think they have about 8 episodes, each one was $25 million, so you do the math. I mean, that's insane to spend that amount of money on a TV show. And to not even be able to give ratings or anything like that. But the production value is so crazy big. It's ginormous. It's Titanic. It's like the movies. It's like you're watching a Star Wars movie called The Mandalorian. But it's broken into 8 TV episodes. It's a little bit mind-boggling to kind of see that. And great to know that a Chilean actor by the name of Pedro Pascal, who was also in Game of Thrones, is the lead guy, but we don't really see his face. But if you're a Star Wars fan and you love the DNA of Star Wars, of the Star Wars format, the Star Wars style and aesthetic, then you're going to love The Mandalorian. It's a great TV show. And of course, it gave birth to Baby Yoda. My brother was pretty ticked off about it because the world went crazy with Baby Yoda. He's like, hey, spoiler free, people. Some people haven't seen it yet. But just for that show alone, you guys should get Disney Plus. And I heard there's like a crazy deal going on, like $59.99, I think, for the whole year, which comes out to, I don't know, like $5. And I think there was another bundle price that they were including Hulu and ESPN Plus for another crazy price. I mean, if you already got Netflix and HBO Max and Apple TV, you know, maybe not, but maybe consider replacing those with Disney Plus. The library is just too crazy. I mean, I think it's better than Netflix's. Netflix has a lot of garbage, guys. You know, don't fool yourself. They now have these great movies that came out this month, but for the most of the year, you're not getting The Marriage Story and The Two Popes and Dolomite and all these other great films that are coming out, like The Irishman. They're just barely just putting those out right now. But for the rest of the year, I mean, the content just seems a little weak. So Disney Plus is a good price and great in a great library of content. So really consider it because I definitely am. All right. This week, I'm talking to actor William Levy. A lot of you know him as the actor who was in Dancing with the Stars on ABC and became a phenomenon that landed him on the cover of People magazine. He was anointed as the new Latino Brad Pitt. Either that was a curse or it was the best thing that could have happened to him. But he has a new movie, a Spanish language movie called En Abrazos de un Asesino. It's like a spy thriller, which he co-wrote, produced, and stars in. Think James Bond meets John Wick, but in Mexico. That's kind of how the movie is. And in our interview, Levy got pretty raw and had some cathartic moments on how the Latino market once told him that he was never going to make it because of his Cuban accent, and how Hollywood said he wasn't Latino looking enough to be hired. And it's a very similar story that happened to Carlos Ponce in a podcast that we also did not too long ago, where I'm telling you, the stories are almost like verbatim. And much of these experiences, according to Levy, really marked him. And it marked him to the point where he created a production company with the purpose of hiring Latino actors with all types of accents. Take that, guys. And he also has the production company to develop Spanish language movies for Spanish language viewers, like his mother and his grandmother, who don't understand English language films. He seems to have a chip on his shoulder, which he's channeling for good. But before I talk to William, it's time to give you my weekly pop culture news recap in a segment I like to call Jacked In. Let's begin with the top movie news of the week. The Toronto International Film Festival named Lucrecia Martel's Argentine film Zama the best movie of the decade. There's a WeWork movie coming to the big screen. Antonio Banderas will be honored at the Palm Springs Film Festival Awards Gala. A movie about the founders of the National Enquirer is in the works. And Brazil's president blamed Leonardo DiCaprio for the Amazon rainforest fires. In TV news, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel returns December 6th on Amazon Prime. One Day at a Time co-creator Gloria Calderon-Kellett has signed a multi-year overall deal at Amazon Studios. Netflix is releasing 53 new original movies and shows in December, and the new trailer of the new Latinx version of Party of Five reboot is out now. Switching over to music, Alanis Morissette is celebrating the 25th anniversary of Jagged Little Pill with a brand new North American tour. Jennifer Lopez will be honored with the Spotlight Award at the 31st Annual Palm Springs International Film Festival. Spotify names Drake, Ed Sheeran as the most streamed artist of the decade, and Nati Natasha is December's cover girl of Hola USA magazine. And in tech and social media news, Facebook acquires Czech Republic Beat Saber video game studio. You can now video chat with up to 6 people on Instagram. Mario Kart is Apple's most downloaded video game of 2019, and Twitter stock plunges after CEO Jack Dorsey says he plans to move to Africa next year.
What's up, Jack? How you doing, bro?
William, what's going on, man?
I like your name, brother. You're Rico. Huh?
Yeah, cool. Yeah. I know. I've had a couple of people tell me that. Jack Rico. It sounds like a private detective, you know.
I actually was reading a script a couple of years ago, and the guy was called Rico.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's funny, man.
That's really, funny, really man. Funny. Yeah. Well, William, welcome to the Highly Relevant Podcast.
All right, man. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you, Rico.
So you have a new film out called En Brazos de un Asesino. You co-wrote it, you produced it, and you star in it.
Mi nombre es Sarai. Javier me ha tenido secuestrada desde que tenía 14 años. Necesito que me ayudes.
Has venido a interferir.
Vas a morir por lo que has hecho. Sarai debía estar conmigo en el segundo que la encontraste.
Venía por ti.
Quiero a Guzmán muerto por el precio que acordamos, pero te daré un millón más si matas a Sarai.
Why was this film so important to you?
Well, it wasn't exactly this film in particular. You know, it was my career what's more important. And, you know, I had the chance to work here in the American market. And, you know, I learned from these big productions that I was part of it. But I was also able to work with some people that, you know, they weren't taking this job seriously, you know, and they
really?
Just like, you know, they didn't really
they were phoning
care
it
about
in.
Putting,
yeah,
they were, you know, they were just not putting the whole budget into the production, you know, and you know, when you're an actor and you see that kind of stuff happening, you know, around you, then you really, you know, you really see people don't care about your career; they just care about whatever, you know, their interests. And mm-hmm. you know, I wanted to just take care control of my career and create great opportunities, not only for me, but for Latinos in this country too. So, you know, I said, you know what, let's start doing this. I'm going to create this production company where I'm not only an actor who's looking for an opportunity. I want to become that man who creates opportunity for other people and other actors. And man, this is exactly why I did it. You know, there's nothing specifically about that movie. Just I read the book and I loved it. You know, I had a good time reading it. And I thought people would like it too. So, you know, I went ahead and got the rights. There are actually 7 books.
Oh, wow.
We made the movie based on the first book. Yeah, it's, you know, it's a New York Times bestselling author called J.A. Redmersky. And, you know, it took like 4 or 5 months to get the rights to negotiate it. But then we did it finally. And, you know, it took a little more time to start, you know, making the adaptation and stuff. But finally, we did it, man. We're four days away from the movie. It's crazy.
We'll talk a little bit more about your career in just a second. But was this your first screenplay that you ever wrote?
Yes, the first one.
What was the writing experience like for you?
It was crazy, man. It was crazy because I was in Miami, you know, and we didn't have the budget to go out there and get the writers and pay writers. And, you know, we went through one experience where we offered a writer a job and we didn't like what he did. So I was like, you know what? We're wasting our time. Let me stop everything I'm doing and let me freaking focus on my stuff. So I started writing, you know, co-writing with my partner, the adaptation from the book to the movie. Mm-hmm. And we would do it every night. My kids would go to sleep at 10. Then his kids would go to sleep at 10 in LA. I was in Miami. So for me, it was like 12 o'clock. And then we would start from 12 to 6. All that, you know, all night long.
Wait, 12 midnight to 6 in the morning?
Yeah. We would do it because during the day, we didn't have time to do that. You know, I was with my kids. I had a lot of stuff doing, you know, a lot of stuff going on.
When did you sleep?
When the kids went to school. Like I would stop when the kids woke up, have breakfast with them, and then go to sleep at that time.
Did you enjoy the experience of writing?
Yeah, man. Yeah, because I was taking control of whatever I wanted in the movie, and the story. So I liked it. You know, I really enjoy what I do, man. So if you don't enjoy it, I don't think I would have done it.
You know, writing is a difficult thing because I've tried doing it. And you know, it's between creativity and vision and everything else. What did you learn from the writing experience?
Well, it's, I've here and there always wrote something in my life. You know, I like writing ever since I was a little kid.
Oh, okay.
But I never did it this seriously. You know, I never took it so serious. And I just did it because I really enjoy it, man. I really like spending my time and creating this world in my head and the world that I wanted to show from the book. You know, the only thing that I really... You know, that I really suffer while I'm doing this, man, is that you can't put everything in the movie, you know, and sometimes
right.
You have to sacrifice a lot of the book. And there were so many great scenes that I wanted to show them, but, you know, they were all, you know, you just couldn't because, you know, in the movie, you can't do much, you know? So that's the only sad part about writing from a book to a movie, that you lose a lot, you know, and it hurts you, you know, to not be able to show everything out there. That's why at the beginning we wanted to make it a series.
What I noticed is that you chose to go with an international cast. What was the thinking behind that?
I like it. I think I grew up sometime, you know, even in the Spanish market, listening to people telling me that I wasn't going to make it because I had a Cuban accent. And he hurt me a couple of times, not to the point where I stopped doing what I'm doing. I always knew I was going to do it no matter what, and no matter what people would say. But I didn't like people saying that because of an accent. You know, we are Latinos and we have different accents. It doesn't matter where we come from, and we should all enjoy it. So, you know, I always went against that. And I said, when I make a fucking movie, I'm going to make a movie with everybody different accents. I don't give a fuck. You know, because, man, you cannot go out there and say to Latinos, between Latinos, hey, you have an accent, you won't make it. Who told you this shit, man? What do you believe in this?
Do you feel that it's a form of discrimination?
I do. I really do, man. I really do. So, you know, this is exactly why I want to, in a movie, different cast from different countries. You know, I mean, it's so beautiful when you go see a movie and you see different accents in the movie and, you know, it's just, you know, you should not cut the wings to somebody because of where they come from.
Exactly.
You should never do that, you know? So this is exactly why I wanted to do it.
Now, why did you choose to shoot the film in Spanish? Don't you reach a wider net in English? And did other producers, the studio, did they go, hey, listen, man, this has the capacity to reach a lot of people. Let's do it in English.
Yeah. You are totally right. I went through that when.
And so what
when
happened?
We were making the movie. We were supposed to be in English, and my whole team was actually telling me to do it in English because I was in the middle of making a crossover. But then I learned that, I don't have anything against this country. I mean, I come to this country and I love this country, but I have to do something for my people, man. You know, wherever we come from, we have to help each other. And and I saw that. Being us, the number one audience going to the movie theaters, and having only 3% of Latinos working as lead roles in the American market was not going together. It wasn't making sense, any sense. And I just, you know, I just wanted to create more opportunities for Latinos. And I went against everybody, against all odds. Everybody would kept telling me to do it in English, for myself. And I said, you know what? I'm about to be 40, man. And I'm not thinking about myself anymore. I'm thinking about everyone else. And I want to help people. And I want to create jobs. I want to create opportunities for Latinos in this country too, man. So I said, you know what? My grandmother cannot go to the movie theaters. My mom cannot go to the movie theaters. And they will never go to the movie theaters again. Why? Because there's not a movie in Spanish, man. So I said, you know what? You never know when you're going to see them again. You never know when you're going to lose them. You know, life is passing by so fast. And I don't only want to create opportunities for the people behind and in front of cameras, but I want to create opportunities for Latinos to go to movie theaters and watch a movie in their language. So, you know, I went out there and did it in Spanish, man. Maybe some people didn't like it, you know, that I did this decision, but I know millions of people are going to enjoy it.
Absolutely. Well, remember, there's 600 million Spanish-speaking people in the world, so you definitely have a good business model there. Now, let me talk about your career, because we were talking about it earlier in the conversation. You've acted in approximately, you could correct me here if I'm wrong, in 26 TV and film projects in your career, which is a lot. And I'm curious to know if this business, when you first got in, was everything you thought it'd be when you made the decision to become an actor, or now that you're 40, has it become, or has it come with its sets of disappointments that you've learned from?
Well, the disappointments come at the beginning. I would say that at the beginning, because you would think something and you just, you know, like I told you, the first casting that I went to, I was told that I wasn't going to make this because I had an accent. Then I came to the American market and they told me that I wasn't going to do it because I didn't look Latino. And then I was just going against everything. I was like, whoa, where am I going to work? In the Latin market, they told me I have a Cuban accent. In the American market, they told me I don't look Latino. So, and I have a Latin accent. So I'm like, what's going on here, you know? But, you know, through the process and when you start working, you just, you know, I understand that, you know, and I'm not talking I'm not saying anything bad about anybody here. So I will never mention any names. But we all know that in this business, like everyone else, but in this business, man, you know, just people are, you know, people look for their own good, man, you know, and I'm not like, I come from a country where we will help each other, because if we don't help each other, you freaking, you know, you don't make it, you know. We have a government who tells you what to eat, when to eat, you know, and what to do, you know, it's a dictatorship. So we learn to help each other. And here, it's, you know, you hardly see that, man. You hardly see that. You just see people looking for their own good and, you know, trying to step all over each other and, you know. And it's a business. It's hard, man. People are very fake. And I don't like that. I don't like to be surrounded by that, man. So that's exactly why I mostly don't have any friends that are from the business. I have my own friends from the days when I was little, you know, and I hang out with them all the time and I play dominoes and I keep a normal life, you know, because this life can be really bad, man. It's really fucked up. If you get into it, you know, you can really end up bad.
One of the things about acting to me is that I think is just terrible is the amount of rejection that an actor goes through every single day. That's not about what kind of person you are, what kind of values you are. It's about how you look. It's about que si le caíste bien a alguien o no, or something. How do you deal with criticism? How do you deal with rejection? And how do you overcome all those things to get to the place where you are right now, making a movie of this caliber and this production level?
Well, man, you are saying the right things all over. Me personally, the way I face this, I know that there's nothing this business can do to me that I already went through in Cuba. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I put myself on a boat when I was 14 years old. I risked my life on the freaking ocean. I went through shit in my life. So whatever I can go through in this business will never compare to that. So it doesn't matter if you tell me no. It doesn't matter how many times you tell me no and how many times, you know, I have to face that. Me personally, I know I'm going to go through it. But it could be very hard for other people. I understand that. It could be very, very difficult to go out there and you know, and confront people saying no to you, no to you. And it's not only one time or once every 3 years that you get a job. Every other person might go and say and got 3-4 no's and get a job. And then they'll get a job for a long time without having to hear somebody saying no to them, you know?
So right.
Until whatever, you know. But here it's like almost you get a movie, you, 2 months later you are without a job, and now you are looking for another movie or another job, and you keep, you know, facing people saying no. It's hard.
It's hard, man. Hard.
This business is so hard, man. It's really hard, and it's very, very unknown of the future. You know, you don't know your future. You don't know what you're going to do. So it could be very difficult, man. It could be very, very bad.
Have you ever thought of quitting the business and just going somewhere where you don't have to deal with that assault all the time?
Yeah. 5 years ago, I actually said, I don't want to do this no more, you know, because the press was talking so many crap. I was dealing with so many stuff that I said, I don't give a fuck about this, man. You know, mm-hmm, I could live without anything. I could live without anything. I don't care, because I come from that. But then once again, I found myself like, why should I stop for other people? You know, I'm gonna keep doing what I'm doing, and right. I'm gonna keep doing what I love to do. So, but yeah, man, it's hard. It's hard to, you have to have a crocodile skin in this business to make it.
You know, it's interesting. When I was watching this movie, I said to myself, why isn't William Levy the next James Bond?
I know. I keep asking myself the same thing.
I really couldn't decipher or discern why you couldn't be the next James Bond. And
because you're not the producers, man. You got to be the producers over here, you know?
Seriously. And in Brazos de un Asesino, to me, just felt like the Latino James Bond. But at the end of the day, what the hell is Latino look like? You know, what does an American look like? The idea is to put
exactly,
the right
man.
Person in that role.
That is all right. You know, we don't have, you know, a way that we were so freaking different. We have so many different actions. We look so different. It's not like, you know, it's so incredible, man. But, you know, I mean, I think little by little, you just got to keep pushing. We got to keep pushing and keep showing this market that, our Latin market has so much value, and you know, they got to appreciate it and they have to understand that at some point they will, you know, and things are going to change little by little, man. I believe that.
Fellow Cuban actress Ana de Armas has been blowing up in Hollywood. And as you know, she's been in Blade Runner 2049. She's a new Bond girl. She's also the centerpiece in Rian Johnson's Knives Out film that's currently in theaters. As a Cuban actor yourself, how difficult do you think she's had it to get to where she is today?
You know, like I told you, coming forward from where I come from, I know that it's hard. One, it's hard to get out of Cuba. It's really hard. Because in every other country, you are allowed to get a visa. If you go, they tell you, look, you need to work, you need to save some money in their bank account, you need to make it good, and then you go and you might get a visa to come here. But in Cuba, it doesn't matter how much you work. It doesn't matter how much money you save. It doesn't matter what you do. You won't get a visa. You're not allowed to get a visa and fly. And it's so ridiculous. You know, it's so funny because, you know, the only reason is, I won't even get into that. It's too crazy. But anyway, you're not allowed to leave Cuba. So it's very, very, you know, it's not normal to see a Cuban, first of all, to get out of Cuba and then make it happen the way she's making it happen. And for me, the way I'm trying, you know, what I'm trying to do here. It's hard, you know. It's very, very hard. You don't see many Cubans working in this business. You see more Mexicans, you know, which I really love because Mexico made my career. But you see more different people than Cuban. Cuban is so hard to see them because of the situation that we go through in our country. So when I see her doing that, I know what she went through. I know how much she appreciates what she's doing right now. And, you know, I just hope the best for her. And not only for her, but everyone, every Latino, you know, because like I told you, man, only 3% of Latinos are working happily
in
the American market. It's crazy, man.
It's insane.
We are the number one audience going to movie theaters, and only 3% is working as lead role. That's crazy.
So how do you change that, William? How do you change that?
Well, that's exactly what why I'm doing this, man. I'm creating jobs for Latinos, you know. This is exactly what I wanted to do in Spanish, because I want to put that 3% up, at least in Spanish, or whatever it is, but then you work. We need work. We need to do what we love to do, man, you know?
So how do you envision your career? Is it as an actor? Is it as a producer? Is it as a writer? Is it as a director?
I think I'll write whenever I have to, or whenever I feel I should. That's not what I'm looking for. I like producing, and I like acting. I think I will do both the rest of my life.
And then finally, for people that want to see En Brazos de un Asesino, why should they go to the movie theaters and watch this film?
Well, one is because it's a movie it's a fun movie. We did everything possible to make sure people, when they go to movie theaters and watch a movie in Spanish, they watch something different. This is a different movie. It's not a romantic comedy, which is what we used to watch now at the market. This movie is suspense, romance, action. Has great photography. People are going to enjoy this movie. They're going to have a good time. But more importantly, is that, you know, it's a movie that we are betting on the Latin market. We are trying to show the whole world, you know, our importance in this market, in this world. So I hope they go. I hope they go, because they're not only going to watch a movie, they're going to do something good for Latinos, you know. So it's both things at the same time.
All right, man. William Levy, thank you so much for being on the podcast. The name of the movie is called En Brazos de un Asesino.
That's right,
William writes it, produces it, and stars in it. And will there be a sequel?
Well, it depends on the success.
Well, as you said, we're the largest movie-going demographic in the United States, so there shouldn't be any reason why that shouldn't happen. Go check out En Brazos de un Asesino. It comes out this Friday, December 6th, in select theaters. William Levy, thank you for being on the Highly Relevant podcast.
Un placer. Saludos.
And before I wrap up here, here are three Latin tracks you might want to add to your playlist this weekend. Barro en los pies, Coloc featuring Itza. Barro en los pies, sin querer. Fuck 'em, Girl Ultra featuring Ximena Sariñana.
Te puedo querer desde aquí hasta el cielo. Me puedo quedar llorando un aguacero.
Mala manera, Juanes.
Con esa mala manera que tú tienes de querer.
And that's it for episode 133 of the Highly Relevant Podcast. I want to thank William Levy for dropping by. And if you like to support this podcast, please spread the love on social media and tell all your friends about it. You can reach me on Instagram at Jack Rico and my Facebook page at Jack Rico 40. Remember, it's only through your support that our show can grow. I'm Jack Rico. See you next week on another episode of Highly Relevant.